Good morning, friends. This is the day that God is making. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. May the grace and peace of God and of Jesus Christ be with you all. And I want to welcome you to this time of worship this morning. If you are new to us or visiting for the first time, we're especially glad you're here. Thank you for joining us from your living room or wherever you are sitting today or resting, perhaps with some coffee in your hand. We welcome you to this time of worship. Though we are physically scattered, we are gathered together in spirit and in the name of God and of Jesus. So we welcome each of you, wherever you are and wherever you live, to be a part of this time of worship. And I'm glad to welcome you to this church, to their service this morning. We have just a few announcements this morning. I wanna lift up just a couple logistics in terms of our Zoom worship. So if you are visiting for the first time and you would like to let us know that you're here, we would welcome you to put your name and email contact info in the chat box. If you feel comfortable doing that, you can also email me if you'd like to get just share your information with me at tabunitedpastor@gmail.com. So you can send me an email to let me know that you're here. And we welcome you. All participants are muted during the service, so there'll be a couple times, however, in the midst of the service that you'll be unmuted, that you can shout out and say hello, and one of those will be during the passing of the peace, and then later on at the end of the service, we'll have a minute to greet each other after the service. Also, on that note, today, following the service, we're gonna leave it open for people to greet each other, but then we're gonna transition into a soft launch of a virtual coffee hour, which we're gonna try out today. So Buki and Vic Comfort are going to be hosting that time. And it's really gonna be just an experiment to see and to hear from you about what you might want or like for this kind of post-service gathering. So if you're interested in just being a part of that, giving your input and also seeing and talking with each other a little bit longer, please stay after the service today. So we're gonna be doing that today. Immediately following the service, there will be a virtual coffee hour time. And we give thanks for Buki and for Vic, who are hosting that time for us today. Also, just a kind of security reminder that to not click on any unfamiliar links or from a user that you don't recognize in the chat box, so we can keep our space as safe as possible. Those are our announcements this morning, and now we're going to continue in our worship. So let us gather together and open up our hearts to God's presence in our lives as we call ourselves to worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. God's time is not our time. God is in the beat of a heart and the flash of lightning. God is present in the formation of stone in the earth and the shifting of continents.
We gather in this sacred space across time and distance to praise the God of sunlight and the glacier.
Amen.
Sorry, I was not unmuted. Now I'm unmuted. We are going to sing together this morning. Our opening song is called Honey in the Rock. This may be new to you, but it's easy to learn. So I invite you to join along as you hear it. We give thanks this morning for the witness and struggle for justice of many African American folks in our country and around and in the past. And so this song that we're singing this morning comes from the African American spiritual tradition. So as we sing, we give thanks for that witness and join those voices together. This is called Honey in the Rock for all God's children.
There's honey in the rock for all God's children. Honey in the rock, honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock for all God's children. Feed every child of God. Every person on this earth should know. Feed every child of God. Loving ways to learn and grow. Feed every child of God. If religion was the thing that money could buy, feed every child of God, then the rich would live and the poor would die. Feed every child of God. There's honey in the rock for all God's children. Honey in the rock, honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock for all God's children. Feed every child of God. Oh, I'll climb and climb and I'll never stop. Feed every child of God. Until I reach the mountaintop. Feed every child of God. Oh, all creatures of the earth and sky. Feed every child of God. Join in the everlasting cry of feed every child of God. Oh, there's honey in the rock for all God's children. Honey in the rock, honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock for all God's children. Feed every child of God. Sing it one more time. There's honey in the rock for all God's children. Honey in the rock, honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock for all God's children. Feed every child of God. Feed every child of God.
Amen. Pastor Katie's sermon this morning is called Living Stones. So we're finding songs this morning that have rock imagery or stone imagery, and you'll see that in Shell's slides this morning too. This song is My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, where we talk about Christ as the solid rock. Let's sing together.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Amen.
Will you please join me in the prayer of confession? We struggle to place ourselves in your metaphors. We yearn to be the cornerstone or part of the temple. But are we the rock on the road causing others to stumble? Do our ways serve your will? Are our sacrifices acceptable? Whose time do we keep? Help us feel your Spirit's movement, even in times of stillness. Help us build your temple of the stones we've got. Amen. God has called us, and now we are God's people. Let us breathe and rest and move in that great mercy. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Amen. Please join me in a song of praise, Jesus, Rock of Ages. I think one of the simpler songs that we sing, and one you can learn quickly. This is written by some Mennonite folks, and that's where I learned this song. And let's sing it together.
Jesus, Rock of Ages, let me hide myself in thee. Jesus, living water, let me drink from your flowing stream. Your love comes pouring in my heart till it overflows. You revive my dying spirit till it blossoms and it grows. Jesus, Rock of Ages, let me hide myself in me drink from your flowing stream. Jesus, Rock of Ages, let me hide myself in thee. Jesus, living water, let me
just as Jesus has come into our lives and offered us the gift of peace, So we turn now to our neighbors and offer the sign of peace. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
Peace, Geneva.
Where's Maureen?
Right here. Yeah. Michael. Peace, Scott.
Guys.
Hi.
Peace, Malcolm.
Peace,
hey, Oscar.
Peace, Michael.
Morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Oh, Deb.
Peace, Sarah.
Peace, Joanna.
Peace, Oscar. Hi. Say peace. Say peace, dog.
Peace, Deb.
Elizabeth and Ray, peace.
Great job, Susan.
She waves.
What? What?
That's it for us.
What do you mean?
Our first scripture reading today is from Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5, and verses 15 and 16. I take refuge in you, Lord. Please never let me be put to shame. Rescue me by your righteousness. Listen closely to me. Deliver me quickly. Be a rock that protects me. Be a strong fortress that saves me. You are definitely my rock and my fortress. Guide me and lead me for the sake of your good name. Get me out of this net that's been set for me, because you are my protective fortress. I entrust my spirit into your hands. You, Lord, God of faithfulness, you have saved me. My future is in your hands. Don't hand me over to my enemies, to all who are out to get me. Shine your face on your servant. Save me by your faithful love. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Come and see, I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, come as a child, oh come and see.
Good morning. It's great to see all of you. I'm going to talk about really special ways of loving today, and also talk about how to talk about special ways of loving. We love people for very, very particular reasons, and this story is going to tell you about a little girl who had to understand that. So you need to help me pretend in this story. This is a bath mat, but I want you to pretend that it's a dog. This is a piece of rope, but I want you to pretend it's the dog's tail, okay? So we start pretending by imagining a mother who is holding this dog and scratching its ears. And over here is a little girl. And she is getting very sad and very angry because the mother is scratching the dog's ears and saying things. And all of a sudden, the little girl came up and pulled the dog's tail. And she yelled, "I don't like you. Go away." The mother was very surprised. So she picked up the little girl and cuddled her and said, "Why do you feel so angry?" And she said, "Because you were patting the dog." And the mother said, "Yes, it's fun to pat her. And there are special reasons that I love our dog. But there are many, many more special reasons that I love you." The little girl said, "What?" And the mother said, "I'm going to tell you some very special reasons that I love you. You ask wonderful questions about flowers and about the moon and about macaroni and cheese. You helped me make muffins. You helped me learn to build a big, big Lego tower. You help other children build big, big Lego towers. You sing lots of silly songs. And you make me happy every time you wake up in the morning. These are some of the special reasons that I love you. And because you are getting bigger and smarter all the time, there are even more special reasons that I loved you." And she picked up the dog and she scratched its ears. And then she hugged her little girl with the dog right in the middle and said, "All those special reasons are reasons that I love you. And let's have a hug." So at the end of the story, we can think about very, very special reasons that we love somebody. And we can think about ways of telling them that. God has helped us do that. And so this is our job for this week, to think about special reasons we love people and to say so. Thank you.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
I invite you to join in singing this morning, "O Christ, Surround Me," a new one for me, and I think for many of you. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3 if you're looking in your hymnal, but I think we can be encouraged this morning that Christ is surrounding us.
God be the love to search and keep me. God be the prayer to move my voice. God be the strength to now uphold me. O Christ, surround me. O Christ, surround me. Bind to myself the name of holy. Bind ring of witnesses enfold. Prophets, apostles, angels, witness. O Christ, surround me. O Christ, surround me. Brightness of sun and glow of moonlight, flashing of lightning, strength of wind, depth of the sea to soil the planet. O Christ, surround me. O Christ, surround me. O Christ, surround me. O Christ, surround me.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pax. It's a beautiful hymn. And good transition to our scripture reading this morning, which comes from 2 Peter. Letter of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, we're reading verses 2 through 10. And this is a letter written to an early community of disciples who were really struggling, who were being harassed and having difficulty staying together and staying faithful in the midst of persecution and struggle. So keep that in mind as you hear these words from Peter. He says, "Like a newborn baby, desire the pure milk of the word. Nourished by it, you will grow into salvation, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now you are coming to Jesus as to a living stone. Even though this stone was rejected by humans, from God's perspective, it is chosen, valuable. You yourselves are being built like living stones into a spiritual temple. You are being made into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Thus it is written in Scripture, 'Look, I am laying a cornerstone in Zion, chosen and valuable. The person who believes in him will never be shamed.' So God honors you who believe. For those who refuse to believe, though the stone the builders tossed aside has become the capstone. This is a stone that makes people stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Because they refuse to believe in the word, they stumble. Indeed, this is the end to which they were appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who are God's own possession. You have become this people so that you may speak of the wonderful acts of the one who called you out of the shadows into God's amazing light. Once you weren't a people, now you are God's people. Once you hadn't received mercy, now you have received mercy. This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God." Let's pray together. Oh God, we thank you for bringing us to this place, this particular place that we are in today. We are all in our different homes, and we bring with us exactly who we are, our doubts, our struggles, our questions. Oh God, you meet us here, and we ask you to meet us here, to speak to us in the places of our lives. I ask God that you would speak to us through this scripture. I ask that you would speak through me, and I ask that you would speak in spite of me, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Living stones. Living stones. This is our theme today. It's taken from this passage in 1 Peter. Peter uses stones as a primary metaphor in this passage to talk about Christian life, to talk about life together. We are alive. We are living stones. We are living in light of the resurrection. And this is what Peter is communicating to his audience. We are living in light of the resurrection, living in light of hope. We are a community of living stones built around Jesus's life and ministry. And Jesus himself, Peter says, is a living stone, and not just a living stone, but the cornerstone on which all of us, all of our life together is built. It's a beautiful metaphor, and it's not a very common metaphor. So maybe that's why I was attracted to it this morning. It's also a metaphor that's drawn from nature. It's a nature metaphor. Interesting to me, perhaps, if we tease out the metaphor a little bit, because perhaps of anything in nature, it is most common to think of a stone as something that is dead, or at least mostly dead, right? Not very alive. not as alive to you or not as alive as you or me. Not as alive as a tree that is outside of our window. Not as alive as a goat or a squirrel. A stone. It doesn't breathe. It doesn't move on its own. It doesn't eat or poop. All things living seems to me that they eat or poop. I'm just being real, right? A stone just seems to be less alive than most things, dead compared to other life forms. But it raises an interesting question, doesn't it? Are stones alive? Are stones alive? Well, in the Bible, stones, rocks, are often very meaningful to people. And in some instances, stones are actually quite alive in the worldview of some of the biblical writers. There's the time, for example, when Jacob uses a stone as a pillow as he goes to sleep. As his head rested on this stone pillow, he dreamt an amazing dream of a ladder going up to heaven. And when he awoke, he took that pillow that was a stone and turned it into a pillar to mark that experience that he had. He poured oil over the stone and marked it as sacred. That place as sacred. There's the time when Joshua raised a stone in the presence of the Israelites and said, "This stone right here has ears and it hears us, and it will be a witness against us if we engage in wrongdoing." Joshua claimed this stone would actually hear and be working or be a witness to people's behaviors. Then there's the story of Moses striking a rock with his staff in the wilderness in the company of the complaining Israelites who were seeking freedom, who were fleeing Egypt, but they were hungry and thirsty and they were in this wilderness place. And Moses strikes the rock with his staff, and out of that rock comes gushing water, flowing water for the people to drink, water for life from a rock. And then there are the grandest of stones, giant rocks that we call mountains, that are viewed as holy sites throughout the Bible. Mount Sinai, for example, a place of encounter with God, a place where the Ten Commandments were given to Moses, also on tablets of stone, we might remember. God is imagined as dwelling on that rock, as dwelling on that mountain, and as speaking through the mountain. Then there are the many psalms that we have, the full of descriptions of God as our rock, as our fortress. We heard this morning from Psalm 31, the poet saying, "You, O God, you are my rock and my fortress." Jesus, at one point in his preaching, he quotes the prophet Habakkuk, and he says, "These stones will cry out." Now, he's witnessing in the prophet Habakkuk, who, if you go to that context, the prophet is speaking in the context of Babylon, where the Babylonians were hoarding wealth and trampling on the poor. And so when Habakkuk says the stones will cry out, as Jesus then said, he's saying the stones will witness to the injustice of empire. It's as if the stones literally hold memories of injustice and will speak out. If we listen, we can hear the stories of the stone that from the stones and learn from those stories. These are only a few examples of many stories of stones in the Bible. When we read these examples, we notice how stones, how rocks are both meaningful to people, but are also in ways alive, alive. A couple of weeks ago, you might remember we talked about trees, and we talked about how the Western settler colonial worldview, which is a dominant, powerful worldview in this country and in our lives, in my life, This worldview shapes us and influences us, and it sees nature as something to be controlled and harnessed and exploited. It sees humans as above creation, not a part of creation. This worldview is then reinforced by our English language, unfortunately, because in English, we talk about nature as an it. We objectify nature just in our language. And this is something that Robin Wall Kimmerer points out in her book, Braiding Sweetgrass. I know I am always quoting Robin Wall Kimmerer in her book, but her book, I can't help it. Her book has been so influential to me. So here I go quoting her again, and I give thanks for her amazing witness and writing. But Kimmerer gives an example by saying, you wouldn't look at your grandmother in the kitchen cooking and say, look, it is cooking soup. Or look, it has gray hair. In English, we never refer to a person as an it. Even saying that out loud makes you feel like you've disrespected a person. It's that kind of objectifying language. It robs your grandmother of selfhood and of kinship with you. Well, Kimmerer's point is that we do the same thing with language in referring to nature as an it. We rob nature of kinship to us. She then explains how in the Potawatomi language, which is her indigenous ancestry, her language, and how in most other indigenous languages, the same words are used to address the living world as are addressed to use the, for the human family. So in the indigenous worldview, in indigenous languages, they don't tend to see humans, but the whole natural world as alive. The whole natural world is alive. So rocks are animate, mountains and water and fire and places are alive. In other words, stones are alive. It's not even a question. Stones have stories to tell. They can witness against people for their unjust acts. They can be a pillow for humans, a comfort. Stones can act as pillars for humans, memorial sites, holy sites of remembrance. A stone can hold God's presence. A stone can be the mouthpiece of God. Notice with Kimmerer's insights about indigenous worldview, how much similarity there is with many of the examples in the Bible that I've just given. And Randy Woodley, who is both a Kitawa Cherokee Indian and also a Christian theologian, he makes the same comparison. He said much of the Bible was written in the indigenous worldview. They have much more in common than the Western colonial worldview has with the biblical worldview or the indigenous worldview. And that I think we must pay attention to, because how we see other people, how we see nature as being, whether we see it as being alive or not, or being worthy of respect and protection or not, it matters deeply for how we see and how we relate. So we need to pay attention to this worldview, to the worldview, the ways in which we're seeing. Now this morning, I have brought a lava rock with me. This rock usually sits by my bedside. It's not something I use for a pillow, but I like to keep it by my bedside as a kind of pillar in a way. It reminds me of my homeland of Iceland, where I grew up. And it's kind of a memory marker for me. It takes me home. It makes me, gives me a sense of belonging. But more than that, this rock reminds me that there is more life in the world and more possibility for life in the world than my imagination is capable of understanding. Because even stones are alive, and they are alive to God. There is life, even in places we thought were dead places. So coming back full circle to the beginning, to use Peter's metaphor of living stones as the metaphor for Easter people, for living in light of the resurrection, and seeing the Christian faith and the Christian walk as becoming like living stones gathered around Jesus, our cornerstone. Perhaps our challenge this morning, in a way, maybe it's going to seem too simple, but then again, maybe not so simple because we have work to do on our worldview. How are we seeing the world and each other and ourselves? This morning, the challenge is simple and maybe not so simple. The call is to begin to allow ourselves to be transformed so that we can begin to see that that which we thought was dead is actually alive. That which we thought was insignificant is actually significant. That which we rejected is actually something valuable and precious in God's sight. Maybe that something we rejected is the created world, like stones. Maybe it's Jesus. We've rejected Jesus. I have rejected Jesus many times. His way is too radical for me most of the time. I reject him more often than I probably say. Maybe it's the rejection of my own self. I've rejected myself as alive, as worthy, as precious and valuable. Maybe it's another person I've rejected, I've thrown out as unworthy of being alive, or at least in my own mind, I've rejected them. Part of being Easter people is beginning to allow God to pull us out of places of death into life. Part of being Easter people is allowing our worldview to be transformed so that we are beginning to see that a stone is alive, not dead. Part of being an Easter people is seeing Jesus not as a dead person with a dead mission, but alive and on a radical mission of love worthy of our allegiance. Part of being an Easter people is allowing our view of ourselves to be transformed so that we begin to believe that we are also alive and embraced and called by God and called out of those places of despair and fear in our own lives, that we are also alive. Because the same God who makes water flow from a rock, the same God who makes stones cry out against injustice, the same God who makes stones as witnesses to human activity, the same God who gives stones as a comforting pillow on which to lay our heads, the same God who has been through the ages our rock and our fortress, our strong tower, that same God can transform a tombstone into a gateway to life that is abundant and everlasting. We worship this God, a God of life, a God who is alive in creation all around us, a God who very much claims each of us as a kind mother would claim us, as her living stones. I'd like for you, if you will, to claim a stone this morning. Maybe you have one already. Maybe you've brought it to worship this morning. Maybe it sits by your bedside, or maybe you can find one today that you can claim and hold. And I want to invite you to use that stone as a meditation piece this week, as a prayer piece this week. Ask God to speak to you through that stone. Ask God to speak to you about the mystery of life being found, even in places we thought were dead places. Ask the stone to be the mouthpiece of God for you, to remind you of the one who holds your life in precious embrace, gives you breath and purpose and meaning, and does the very same thing, not just for you, but for others, even those we have rejected, and for all the creatures and the trees and plants and stones who make up the household of God's world. I invite you to use that stone as a prayer token, a prayer piece for you this week. Amen.
We enter now into our time of offering. We are living stones, living in life together, in the light of love and faithfulness. Please give now as you are able, so that we can spread this lovely message to others. In order to give electronically, please text any amount to 84321 or visit tabunited.org/donation or simply mail a check to the church. Please give as you are able.
This is a song by Darius Brooks. It was sung by Vicky Winans, and if you know it, please sing along. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. God lets me rest in the meadow's grass, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he leads me beside the quiet streams. God restored my failing health and helps me to do what honors God the most. That's why I'm safe. I feel so safe. Why I'm safe, safe in God's arms. When the storm of life is raging, of life is raging, and the billows, the billows may roar. But I'm so glad that God will hide me. I'm so glad that God will hide me.
I'm safe. That's why I'm safe. That's why I'm safe. Safe in God's arms. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts, Creator, Christ, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Faithful and loving God, you are our rock, and we are your living stones. Please help us to share your love and caring with all. Amen.
Friends, this is the time that we open up our worship space for you to share your prayers. They can be joys, concerns, testimonies. You are welcome to use the chat function now to reflect on the service and to bring any joys or struggles or other prayer concerns before God and before our community. So take a moment to lift up a prayer now, and you can just write that into the chat feature, and in just a few moments, Lucinda will begin reading those prayer concerns so that we can all hear them out loud. And as you hear each prayer being lifted up, we just invite you to join in lifting that up so that we as a whole community of people are both listening, sharing our burdens, sharing the burdens of one another, and sharing also in the joys of one another. So let us take a few moments now to lift up our concerns and hear the joys, concerns, and testimonies of one another.
Fletcher says, prayers for my friend and Philadelphia neighbor, Jane, whom I talked with all night long after her husband Bill chose to end his life last night. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Chris, my coworker Jenny Seen, a CISA admin, died on Thursday. I didn't know Jenny well, but she was always helpful and nice. Another coworker texted me last night and said Jenny's death was hitting her hard, that she felt sorry for Jenny, who had no life outside of her job. I told her we would pray for her today and for Jenny and for all her other current and former coworkers who are taking Jenny's death hard, and for everyone who is overworked. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Suzanne, prayers for Ahmaud Arbery's family and for justice for his death. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Elizabeth and Ray, prayers for the staff of Weaver's Way Mount Airy as they mourn the death of their longtime colleague, Dale Kinley. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And a joy from Eloise, welcome back to Michael. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From W. Gregory Akins, our friend Walt Barrett has a tumor on his brain. He also had a scary memory loss experience this week. prayers for him and his wife, Jane, that he will experience God's healing and they will have God's peace. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Anna, all those who have lost their mothers, guide their mothers, mother figures, madrinas, for the motherless and for those with complicated relationships with their mothers. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. I would offer a prayer of my own for all people who are currently incarcerated. Particularly this week, I heard the stories of women in Louisiana, and what they asked from the outside world is prayer. So if we can lift up folks who are particularly vulnerable during this time, God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Thank you for those of you who shared your prayers and struggles and joys. And we lift up those that were spoken and shared through the chat feature, and also those that remain on your hearts that we may be lifting up in silence as well. So as we hear these prayers and lift up all the prayers of our hearts, we sing together. Let's sing together. Lord, listen to your children praying. And lift up all these prayers together.
Lord, listen to your children pray. Lord, send your spirit.
Let's continue to pray. Will you join me? Oh God, we thank you for all of the prayers that have been lifted up and raised. We thank you for the prayers that remain on our hearts that we lift up to you too. We thank you, God, for connecting us to one another today through Zoom and through being able to speak to each other, even see each other and communicate with one another. What a gift to know that we are connected and not alone in this time. God, we thank you on this Mother's Day for all of our mothers, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers who have nurtured us, who have given us love and life, whether they have been biological or adopted, or people, just simply people who have acted as mothers in our life. God, we thank you. We thank you for all the mothers today who may be working and caring for children at the same time, who may be struggling financially or carrying other heavy burdens. We pray for all of these mothers. We pray for all those who have difficult or deeply painful experiences with their mothers. We remember them and pray for them on this day. We pray for all those who have lost their mother to illness and death. We pray for those mothers who have lost a child to illness and death. We lift up Wanda Cooper, mother of Ahmaud Arbery, who was killed in February by two white men, killed by white supremacy. Oh God, we pray for her and for all mothers and families, communities who have lost their children to gun violence. And we remember and say his name, Ahmaud Arbery. Let's say his name. God, may we all recommit to creating a world where white people can no longer gun down black people on racist suspicion and fear. So we pray, God, for and lift up the memory of Ahmaud, and we pray for Wanda Cooper. We pray for her especially, that she would know your strength and your comfort and your affirmation on her life today. We pray also, God, for Linda Bargeron, who also lost her child this past year. And for, we lift up Cooper, her son, who died, and we thank you for his life. And we pray that that you would give Linda strength today as well. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble communicating. I'll try to go a little slower. But we thank you, God, for Linda, and we lift her up, as well as all those who have lost loved ones. We pray, God, for those who want to be mothers, but for whatever reason, or cannot, or have not been able to. God, rest your grace and your presence upon them today. We ask, God, also, we thank you, God, also for those who are not necessarily biological mothers, but who are mothering others, nurturing, healing, and doing courageous mothering work. We thank you. We thank you because we remember that none of us have gotten to the places we are today. None of us have could get through the storms of life or the struggles of life without the witness and presence and guidance of those who came before us and walk with us still. So we thank you, God, that we are not alone. We thank you for Mary, the mother of Jesus, who taught Jesus about the prophets and about God turning a world upside down for justice's sake. And so we remember Mary, and we remember Jesus and the prayer that he taught us. Will you join me now as we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning, as our closing song, I invite us to sing Peace Before Us, and I hope that we can take Christ's peace with us this week. This text is based on a Navajo prayer, and it goes like this. We'll learn the words together with some motions, and it'll help us learn the words too and sing the song. I'm going to turn on gallery view for a moment. First, we say peace before us, peace behind us with our hands over our shoulders. Peace under our feet, with our hands down to the floor. Peace within us, with our hands over our chest. Peace over us, with our hands above us. Let all around us be peace, and we can circle our hands. Let's sing together.
Peace before us, peace behind us. peace over us. Let all around us be peace. Christ before us, Christ before us, Christ behind us, Christ under our feet. Christ within us, Christ over us, let all around us be Christ. Alleluia, 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 alleluia,
amen. Thank you, Pax. In just a moment, we're going to transition to share being together. And so you are welcome to stay in the meeting, and we're going to extend that meeting. So first, we'll just have an open space. People can say hi, and you're welcome to leave then at that point if you'd like. But if you'd like to stay and join for the virtual coffee hour, we'll have some good time of communicating and talking about perhaps your ideas for what you want for a post-service gathering like this. So please get some coffee or some snacks from your own house and join us in that time if you can. But as you go today, I want to just leave you with these words, a reminder of this new metaphor that we are claiming and holding on to today as we are God's living stones. And so remember that you are alive. I know that's seems very simple, but you are alive. You are called by God out of places of death in your life and around. And we are all called in that together. So let us remember that as our calling, and remember to be open ourselves up to the transformation of our worldview, to see God's life and love in places that we thought before were dead. So go and share that good news and claim that good news today. Amen.